from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills, Dr. Daniel Zangrilli, brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. Both Larry Kelly and Joe George are AV rated, as is the entire LGKG firm. LGKG, your home team. Dan, also brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Dan, I wish we had the mics on for our little conversation we just had. Let's pick it up where we left off. We had a guy from Miami who covers the Marlins for the Miami Herald. He said no contests. He would rather have Chisholm than De La Cruz because he can catch the baseball, for one thing. He's a better fielder, all that, better runner. But I like having the right-handed bat. You expounded on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Cruz and Tellez, let's just talk this year, and even to a certain extent Reynolds, even though he's a switch hitter, though it doesn't apply as much, a right-handed power bat allows you to split the left-handers up. You wedge De La Cruz right in between. Maybe he's the four-hole guy, I would think, and I'm not sure Derek Shelton has been asked where De La Cruz fits in the lineup here, but I envision Cruz 3, De La Cruz 4, and then you have Tellez 5. That's a left-right-left, hard-to-come-in matchup against with left-handed specialists.
Yeah. Where,
like last night, for instance, they had to stack Cruz and Tellez 3-4. That's kind of you're playing into the other manager's hand late in game. You know, with a three-batter minimum, that's an easy call for them. Come in, turn Reynolds around from the right side, though he's pretty good right-handed, but at least you can get on the other side of Cruz and Tellez fairly easily, or you're forcing counter moves and getting Tellez out of a game and bringing Connor Joe in. All that stuff that has those tentacles, that trickle-down effect when we talk about matchups, especially tight ball games. Pirates play a ton of them.
Yeah.
That's where the right-handed stick plays. And that's why, not to say that, I mean, Jazz Chisholm, yes, he's a better overall player, but you're bringing in another left-handed stick to an already left-handed heavy lineup. De La Cruz, I think, for the Pirates, just fits a little bit better, lengthens it, and it's a harder lineup to navigate with that left-right-left, and just, you know, you put Kiner Falefa in there. The ease in which other teams were able to get through the Pirates lineup outside of two or three hitters was remarkable. Just think of the advanced scouting meetings. If you're putting together some sort of pitching plan against Pittsburgh, this lineup, not only just the results weren't there numerically, but just the manner in which you could carve it up game plan against it. It was way too easy. Not anymore.
Well, I mean, again, I think they, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can break up your lineup. They got two guys in this trade deadline cycle that makes them a little bit better offensively, which is what you were looking at. You were basically saying, if you have the pitching they have and you just get a little bit better offensively, you're going to give yourself a chance. So, I mean, obviously, I would have liked to see them do a little bit more than they did, but I think they're better, right?
And I think some of them, the tertiary moves that they made, you know, even the York move, I think that's going to play dividends in the big leagues maybe in the next, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. Once he gets acclimated into the system, I don't see him hanging around in AAA for the rest of the year. So you have some depth there. They got a 25-year-old minor league journeyman bat. I think Cook is the name, and that minor league deal was the last thing that kind of trickled in, got swept under the carpet. Well, he's been around and is an upper-level bat with some pop. So they have some depth with some bats in the upper levels that they so desperately needed. So I think that not only did they get better with the two guys, which are grabbing, understandably, all the headlines, and Beeks is somebody I've been talking about for 6 weeks. Colorado, I think I even mentioned it with you guys. I want to go trade with Colorado. Elias Diaz, Jacob Stallings, and then the left-handed reliever, Jalen Beeks. So that's a good move, too. They made a bunch of trades. It helped the big league club with, I think, three pieces, probably four with York, if we're going to talk about what September may look like. And I think, you know, the Walker deal was nice.
Doesn't Kiner essentially block York, though?
Especially
with Nick Gonzalez coming back.
When's he coming back? That's a pretty significant.
It is, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, it feels to me like York was maybe the guy that was going to play that utility role if he came up. But now, I don't know.
I don't think it necessarily blocks him, no. I think you can move Kiner Falefa around here, there, and everywhere. I don't think he blocks anybody. You can match up against him. You can give guys days off with him. He wears so many different gloves and wears them well. If Hayes is scuffling against right-handed pitching, maybe Kiner Falefa. If you need some offense, he's playing third base for a night or two in a row. So I don't think that necessarily blocks York. I mean, like Alika Williams probably is worried about his job. It probably blocks him. But no, I think you could easily carry Kiner Falefa and York on the same roster. I do.
Andreola?
Maybe, again, this is a meritocracy thing now. Triolo is hit. It's amazing how we saw a level of focus and acute awareness, I think, from some guys last night in the lineup, almost as if a match had been lit. Now they were all trending in the right direction before the deadline, but again, it's a big system of meritocracy, and they've created some really nice problems for them to have. So whoever is producing, I think you'll be able to ship one out, swap them out interchangeably, and play a much hotter hand at the time.
Dan Zangrilli joining us in studio here. You can watch us on 937thefan.com. So, Dan, you mentioned you were surprised by all of this, that they actually went out and made significant moves. I think we would all agree that the two lineup pieces they brought in and the bullpen piece, but really the two lineup pieces, were significant. My question is, do you think Ben Cherington would have done this of his own accord, or did he get a strong push from Bob Nutting near the deadline or leading up to the deadline?
You know, I don't know. I think maybe the team spoke to him a little bit more as far as quality of play, and that I think Cherington made mention of in the best way that he can, basically saying that their recent quality of play, and of course the wins, that chunk of winning, what, 7 of 9 it was, or 11 out of 13, I think that, to use his words, clarified the math. I'm not necessarily sure that he would have been as aggressive unless they did go on this stretch, because we were looking at a team that just was alternating wins and losses, could not lose more than 3 in a row or win more than 3 in a row, and then they showed him something. And I don't know this. This is just me speculating. I don't think that there is some edict by the owner pounding his fist on the table, we need to do something, one of those, you know, big Lebowski moments, if you will.
Yeah.
I think that I think with the quality of play improving, guys getting better, you know, collectively, they figured, okay, the position in the standings, let's go ahead and give this a calculated shot. And he did it without throwing all those chips in on Reynolds or 2024 guys. I think the market corrected itself in the final 48 hours from a price standpoint as well. The Pirates, I don't think it was a coincidence. Most of their volume of work came in the last 90 minutes. So those factors probably led to the results of last night. You did not see them, the forefront, being comfortable overpaying on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or even Monday for that matter. Again, everything came very late Tuesday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, one of the things then, and this is where my frustration lies with this, one of the things that we saw is that all of the talk about overpaying and, you know, it's a seller's market and the asks are really high. We saw guys get traded, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the trade deadline, and the asks weren't ridiculous. I think, you know, if you, again, I go back to the, you know, what the Yankees pay or the Phillies pay to get Austin Hayes. I mean, that didn't seem like it was a large return at all in terms of it being, you know, the Phillies had to way overpay to make that happen. The guy that Seattle traded for, the outfielder that they traded for, they didn't give up that much to get him. And that was 2 weeks early. And all I'm saying is we were talking for a long time about this team needs help immediately. They could be in a situation where they might have waited too long. That's all I'm saying.
I'm imagining if the price point was what the price point turned out to be, they would have made the deal.
I doubt that the price point changed dramatically on these guys.
Then why didn't they make the deal?
Exactly. Exactly.
But you don't know that.
Exactly. That's my point.
So you're. What you're suggesting, your hypothesis, is that...
I'm suggesting that if they could have made this deal 2 weeks ago, and it might have cost them the 15th-ranked prospect instead of the 16th, they're idiots for waiting 2 weeks to make it happen. That's what I'm talking about. The price point, I guarantee you, did not change that much. And I know this because I look at the other teams that made deals for outfielders before the trade deadline and see what the cost was for better players. So that's all I'm saying.
I see. I just have a hard time going with that hypothesis because I think they would have made the deal.
I don't think they would have made the deal. I think they were exactly doing what you say is, A, they were trying to get the perfect deal done.
Mm-hmm.
which meant, you know, squeezing every ounce of every penny out of it, which is
so
silly.
So what deal was not made that you would have rather seen them make,
what I'm
as
saying
opposed
is
to the two
number,
that they did
a
make?
Number of these deals where these guys...
For instance.
Okay, Jazz Chisholm.
Well, I mean, I just sort of laid out, they traded like a top five prospect for Jazz Chisholm.
Okay, fine.
So you wanted to see the Pirates give up a...
I don't give a rat's ass what name you're going to call out of the project. Ask him. Yeah. You know this.
That's right.
I don't care about
you,
these
you
guys.
You were going for broke for Jazz Chisholm.
Not Jazz Chisholm. I mean, there's a number of guys like that were traded. My point is, these deals, this idea that you couldn't make these deals until the last minute, the only reason you can't make it to the last minute is because you're trying to squeeze every single penny out of it. And again, whether it cost... 2 weeks ago, the 14th ranked guy instead of the 16th ranked guy, who cares? That's my point.
See,
my point is, if your idea is to try and win in this year, which again, I understand, well, you know, it's not just about this year, it's about the big picture. No, it's about this year. It's about this year, period.
I want winners, not sinners.
That's right. That's right. That's my only frustration is that I feel like the Pirates this year should have been far more proactive, far less conservative, far less like the Pirates do things, and gone and got some guys 2 or 3 weeks ago.
So what grade would you give them?
I gave them a C. I gave them a C, and here's why. I think they got better. I just don't know that they got... Ultimately, here's the thing. We'll do a trade grade at the end of the year. If they make the playoffs, I'll give them an A. If they don't make the playoffs, I'll give them an F.
So well, what if they miss the playoffs, but both these guys are great?
I give them an F.
So it was
because they didn't do enough.
So it was Cooperstown-bound Jazz Chisholm for you or nothing?
No. He's one guy of about seven or eight other names that are out there. Again, Hayes is a guy that there are a number of guys that were out there that they could have gone and I'm going to tell you, if they make the playoffs, then their grade is an A. If they miss the playoffs, their grade's an F. It's playoffs or bust for this year. Has to be.
Even though Brian De La Cruz will be here through 2027, that...
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay, well...
That means nothing.
Let's circle back 365 days from today.
That means nothing because guess what? In the offseason, they're going to lose Chapman. They're going to lose a number of guys. They're going to go get other guys. The team is going to change some. So to me, this year is all that matters. And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing about this team, and I've said this 50 times. Nobody wants to listen to it, though. When you've got Keller, Skeens, Jones, Falter, Ortiz, okay, you got those guys, plus Reynolds, plus O'Neal Cruz, plus Cabrian Hayes, for better or worse, right? You got those eight guys in place for the next 4 years. You should be able, every offseason, you should be able to put together a team that has a chance to win. But that's not how the Pirates do things. That's not how they look at things. It's how I look at things.
Well, I'm confused because you're talking about, and you've just laid out a really solid future, but then just in the same breath a moment ago, you said that it's all about this year.
It is.
Well, I think that the window is just starting to open, not close.
It's about this year. That's my point.
So they serve both masters. I fail to see how that's a bad thing.
Did they?
They have guys for 2025 as well.
Either way.
That's a good thing.
Either way.
That's a good thing, Paul.
Either way, this year, this trade deadline should have been about this year. That's why I'm grading it about this year. Next year, we'll grade it about next year.
So you're not going to factor in the trades that they made this year.
If they don't make the playoffs this year, Dan, maybe I'm speaking of the wrong language, so let me try and do it in Spanish or something. If they don't make the playoffs this year, it will have been a failure at this trade deadline. Does that make it clear enough for you?
Sure.
F.
Sure.
F. Like Blutarski from Animal House. F.
0 points.
0 points.
Why is it all about the deadline, whether they make the playoffs
because
or not?
Well,
what if the guys they got are great and the guys who are already here fail?
Then they should have went and got more.
What if Ryan Reynolds has a crappy 2 months?
Then they should have gone and gotten more. That's my point.
In anticipation of Brian Reynolds falling apart?
Again, this is the only team in town that we don't grade this way. When it's the Penguins, when it's the Steelers, every single year it's about playoffs or bust.
They got a guy.
We were talking about firing Mike Sullivan and firing Mike Tomlin because they can't make the playoffs, and they lose in the playoffs. And the Pirates finally have a team that should be held to that standard, and now we're going to make every other excuse if they don't make it. That's ridiculous. No. BS. To me, it's 100% make the playoffs or it's a failure for this. They did not do enough at the trade deadline.
I don't see it as all related to the trade deadline. That's all. Well, we've talked about.
I said
for what I just said. They brought in a guy who's a really good all around player in Kiner Falefa, and they brought in a right handed power bat, which is exactly what they needed. And, who might be better than Chisholm, by the way.
And hey, they brought in Nick York, which means they might win Baseball America.
You said you like that trade.
Baseball America Organization of the Year. I don't care about that.
I'm talking about the two guys they brought in. One, I think, is a leadoff hitter, and one's a cleanup hitter.
Can I ask you a question, then? Can I ask you and Dan a question?
Yeah.
Because
what do you think that we're saying?
I don't know what you think we're saying.
I'm very angry right now.
I'm going to ask you a question, right? Is there ever a point when we can hold expectations for the Pirates high enough to say they need to make the playoffs?
Yeah, that's why I asked Shelton 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so
playoffs
then what are you arguing with me about then?
I don't know.
Honestly,
their whole season isn't directly related to what they did yesterday. There's a million other factors.
My point is you want to grade the trade deadline. You can't grade it right now, but we did it because it's something we do in talk radio land. My point is grade it at the end of the season. And here's my grade. If they make the playoffs, it's an A. Maybe even an A+.
What do we talk about in the meantime? Nothing?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
We'll just wait?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we talk about it's an A+. I'll even give it an A+. If they make the playoffs, it's an A+. If they miss the playoffs, it's an F-.
Okay, so if Cruz hits 100 with zero homers and the other guy stinks too, but they make the playoffs, they get an A for the trade deadline?
Yes. That's how you grade it.
What is happening here,
That's how you grade it.
I don't think they'd get a completely failing grade, especially because they have De La Cruz for next year, the year after that, plus Kiner Falefa for next year. But I would be significantly disappointed if these two moves don't push them over the top. I would put it as a D at the end of the year if they don't get in.
No. I just said if these two guys stink they make the playoffs anyway.
If O'Neill Cruz hits 100, they're not making the playoffs. So let's go there.
I'm talking about De La Cruz. Thank you, Dan.
If De La Cruz, hold up. Hold up, Dan. Dan, what do you think? Should the expectation be they make the playoffs this year? That's all I'm asking you.
No. Dan, why are you been so pessimistic on the team the entire season? And now they're showing that they're proven buyers.
This is why my man in Claysville was mad at you. He said you're too... He said that you're too negative all the time. I'm just saying it's because you've been down on this team.
I just think that they aren't quite right. And I think I'm proving and I'm trending to be wrong. And I'm very happy about that, by the way. I'm sitting in the role that I sit in. I would absolutely love to see them make the postseason, right? I'm looking at this team that it's going to be darn near close, that maybe is going to fall just short. They increase their chances with these moves, but these moves, while they are for 2024, right, they're just as important for 2025. And I see that next year, and I've been consistent with this, is the year. Now, if they find themselves and they push by way of quality of play and guys start to heat up, man, like, great. Like, that's wonderful. And they did try, but
we got to give Dan the last word here. It's 107.
Yeah. I think that they got significantly better. They improved their chances of making the postseason. But I don't necessarily find it as a cataclysmic failure that they were a playoff team. Was that your expectation going into the season? It wasn't mine.
F.
Was it yours? No.
Expectations
it was
change.
Mine.
Expectations change.
I think that there was a...
They're 38-30 with Skeens on the roster. If they don't make the playoffs, it's a failure.
Yeah, and they're 12 games under .500 with 60% of their rotation.
We have
pitching.
To go.
Bye now.
Dan, thank you.
Thank you.
You've had some interesting appearances on this show.
No, we're talking about Ron's back hair, though, today.
No.
You are the best, truly. And you were on De La Cruz, too.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
What a dynamic.
What a dynamic. That guy's coming up next, and again, we're delayed.
Yes,
I don't know when. I don't know
well,
when Cabali's going
to be
on.
1:10, which
Forget
is a minute
him.
Away.
What's 1:10?
A minute away?
Okay, then he'll be on at 1:20.
Cabali time?
What do you think? We're going to configure the schedule around Cabali? That's not happening.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.